Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Basketball great Michael Jordan broke records during his playing days, and the sneakers and jerseys he once wore are breaking records on the auction block. This week, a pair of sneakers MJ wore 25 years ago sold for more than $2 million. VOA's Gwen Ooten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last September, the so-called Last Dance jersey worn by Michael Jordan in the 1998 NBA Finals sold for an unprecedented $10.1 million U.S. dollars and set a record as the most expensive sports memorabilia. It surpassed the $5.8 million price for Kobe Bryant's iconic number 24 L.A. Lakers jersey and broke the previously held record for the Hand of God shirt worn by Argentine soccer great Diego Maradona. This week, a pair of Air Jordan 13s from Michael Jordan's Last Dance season sold for a record-breaking price of $2.2 million U.S. dollars at Sotheby's Auction House, where Bram Wachter is head of streetwear and modern collectibles. In a statement, Wachter said the sale, quote, speaks volumes of Michael Jordan's legacy as one of the most influential athletes, businessmen, and pop culture icons of our time. The game shoes also received a record-setting opening bid when the pair went up for auction. Wachter spoke about that to Reuters News as the bids were still coming in.
So the estimate for the shoes is $2 to $4 million. And actually, when we opened the auction, we received a bid for $1.8 million. Which will actually break the world record for any pair of sneakers that's ever sold publicly.
The former Chicago Bulls star wore the Nike Air Jordans during a victory over the Utah Jazz in the 1998 NBA Finals. Afterwards, Jordan autographed the toe box of each shoe with silver ink. Those signatures, Wachter says, are still intact, and the game-worn shoes are in immaculate condition.
These shoes were worn in game two of the 1998 NBA Finals. He won that game. He scored 37 points. They're in remarkable condition with beautiful, big silver signatures. They're game worn by him. And so it's really kind of a spectacular specimen.
In 2021, Sotheby's sold a pair of Nike Airships that Jordan wore in his rookie season for just over $1.4 million, an auction record at the time. But Bram Wachter said he expected the Air Jordan 13s to break that record, due in part to its rebellious black and red design.
In terms of kind of sneaker culture, there are two things about these shoes that are really special. So one is that they're breads. So, you know, Michael Jordan, when he first started, you know, wearing Air Jordans, or, you know, they were getting the Air Jordan ready for him, he wore black and red ones, which were actually banned by the league. And so they would, you know, receive a fine for breaking the uniformity clause. And so bred sneakers, black and red sneakers, have always sort of had this mythical relationship with sneakerheads. And so these are breads. And then second of all, you know, this is actually the last signature shoe that you could buy while Michael Jordan was still, you know, a member of the Bulls. That was sort of in stores during that playoff run.
The real life events behind the creation of the Air Jordan shoe line and Nike's partnership with Michael Jordan has been made into a new film entitled Air. The film has just been released in the United States, and critics are saying Air is a slam dunk. And Bram Wachter says the film has helped reignite interest in Air Jordans.
The Air movie has definitely heated up the sneaker market, I would say, for sure. You know, we're noticing interest across the board in, you know, original OG Air Jordan models. And so, you know, I think that that film has certainly had an impact on the market.
And now a lucky buyer is the proud owner of the last Air Jordan 13 breads that the basketball legend would ever lace up for an NBA game. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And I hope you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Côte d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Season 3 of the Basketball Africa League is here. And I hope you tuned in to Thursday's show when I spoke with Liz Mills, the league's only female head coach. Coach Mills talked about the BAL's gender equity initiatives, the spark that ignited her passion for coaching, the BAL's upcoming Nile Conference games in Cairo, Egypt, and the BAL's future growth. Coach Mills hit nothing but net. And on that note, be sure to tune in Nothing But Net with Muckbill and Sonny, our special BAL podcasts. Those podcasts are getting ready to resume as the Nile Conference games resume in Cairo on April 26th. Basketball Africa League excitement right here on the Voice of America. The Voice of America flexing its multilingual broadcasting muscles. We've been broadcasting the BAL games on radio in English, French, Bambara, Portuguese, and Kenya, Rwanda. Yes, the VOA with multilingual broadcasting muscles. Yeah!
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Sonny Side of Sports.
The 1994 African Footballer of the Year, Emmanuel Amunike, is crowing about Victor Osimhen and Samuel Chukwueze, who have been playing well for Napoli and Villarreal, their respective European clubs. Amunike coached the players as members of Nigeria's national under-17 team that won the FIFA World Cup title in 2015. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Amunike praised the players for their performances.
Well, I think we thank God for them. We thank God that we, the coaches that trained them at the youth level, we were privileged to have seen these players, you know, from youth level and up to this top level stage, and how they are performing with their club week in, week out. So we are happy for them, and we pray that, you know, they should be an example to the next generation that are coming under them. And that is the essence of, you know, having players that develop from youth level and then seeing them in the future at top level doing very well. So I'm happy for both of them. And I also hope that the other ones also, you know, that also play along with them at that youth level, will also be in a position in the nearest future to be at their best so that we can have a very strong national team in the future.
As players under your care, did you see great potentials in Victor Osimhen and Samuel Chukwueze?
I think we knew that Osimhen and Chukwueze, you know, could be a very strong potential player in the future. But we also, you know, aware that being a great player in the future does not only depend on your skill or your talent. There's a whole lot of factors that guided you to become a good player or not. But the good thing is that, you know, like I said earlier, we are happy for them seeing these players that in 2014-15, we are under you as a small boy, as a young lad, nursing the ambition to play at top level, and seeing them today, you know, playing at top level, playing against top teams in the world, I think it's a great joy. And we continue to, you know, to encourage them. We'll continue to pray for them so that they continue to grow and inspire the next generation.
Coach, are there other players you trained that are doing well in European League or elsewhere?
Today we talk about Chukwueze and Osimhen. I think there are a whole lot of them that went under us at that particular time of that 2015 set. Even the Murphy, Terry Murphy today that are in the national team, he also went through us at that youth level. He was with us in Calabar. But the good thing is that there are a lot of great players. Nigeria as a country is blessed with great players. And what we can do is to see how we can develop our young players, not just on talent-wise. I think giving them and aiding them with the ability to be able, you know, to understand the game from intelligent aspect of the game and also in terms of decisions-making, I think that will really make the players, you know, to be a much better player. Today, we are enjoying Chukwueze. We saw the two goals he scored against Real Madrid during the weekend. One assist, two goals. We have been seeing Victor, you know, performing week in, week out with his Napoli team. So I think when these our players in question are able to, you know, to find that kind of right frame of development, I think that will enhance them and aid them to be, you know, a much better player.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lusaka, Zambia.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amunike, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
In Major League Baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays have tied a record for early season success, as we hear now from the AP's Gethin Coolbaugh.
The Tampa Bay Rays tied Major League Baseball's post-1900 record for 13 consecutive wins at a season start, rallying to beat the Boston Red Sox 9-3 Thursday. Tampa Bay matched the 13-0 start of the 1982 Atlanta Braves and the 1987 Milwaukee Brewers. Here's Rays manager Kevin Cash.
I'm glad that we did it at home because we had tremendous fan support throughout this entire homestand. They really got loud when we needed them to, and it seemed like our guys were energized by that. But no doubt, when you do something like that, you're playing really well, and there's not one part of our game right now that we don't feel good about.
The Rays have won all but one of the games by four or more runs and have outscored opponents 101-30 with the most runs in the big leagues and the fewest allowed. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Gethin. The Tampa Bay Rays will go after their record-setting 14th victory in a row later Friday night when they play the Toronto Blue Jays in Canada. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports by going to voaafrica.com. You can listen to past episodes of the show once again at voaafrica.com and check out some of the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com.
Tell your friends about VOA Africa, music, sports, and news.
And, of course, tell your friends about the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Now let's go to Namibia, where the German-supported basketball artists school has been helping to develop the sport while giving hope to at-risk youth. Beyond basketball, the program teaches life skills and offers after-school meals. Vita Angela reports from Windhoek, Namibia.
Manny Amukoshi helps coach at-risk boys and girls at the basketball artist school in Namibia. But the 24-year-old didn't start out as a coach.
I've joined the program as a rookie, as a beneficiary. After graduating my BAS foundation program, I joined as a contributor to give back as a contributor at BAS.
The school, which is supported by the government and funded by mostly German donors, has for more than a decade taught basketball and life skills to youths up to 21 years old. The life skills classes are centered on challenges the youth confront, such as conflict resolution in a healthy manner, the harmful effects of alcohol and drug abuse in the community, sexual and gender-based violence, and teenage pregnancy, and how it can be avoided. Former basketball player for the University of Namibia's Tomahawks, Malakia Matias, is program's coordinator. He says they also offer morning daycare for 5-year-olds and under, which includes meals, learning, and games.
And then after that, around 12 to 1 o'clock, we prepare ourselves to take our aftercare children and also the rookies. They immediately come in, they get fed, and then from there they have a meeting, and then after that is tutorials. After tutorials is sports, basketball training to be specific.
In Namibia, learners attend school from 7 in the morning till 1 o'clock, which makes the aftercare program very important to keep these boys and girls engaged during the afternoon. Programs coordinator Matthias says if it wasn't for the basketball artist school, Most youth in the community would not have access to basketball or the meals, support, and life skills training the school provides. Victor Angula for VOA News, Windhoek, Namibia.
Samson Omale joins us now with a big package of African sports highlights. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson!
Sporty Friday greetings to you, too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports highlight for this weekend in Germany, where reigning African Footballer of the Year, Sadio Mane, has been suspended by his club for misconduct. Bayern Munich suspended the Senegalese forward for one game following an altercation with Leroy Sané. After this week's Champions League loss to Manchester City, the club announced on Thursday, Sadio Mane will not be in the FC Bayern squad for the home game against 1899 Hoffenheim next Saturday. Bayern said the reason for Mane's suspension is misconduct after FC Bayern's Champions League game at Manchester City. Former Arsenal of England player Kevin Campbell says the misbehaviour by Mane is unacceptable.
Yes, I think it's difficult to take. Listen, you can have disagreements as teammates, for sure you can. But sometimes that's what the group need, to see that passion inside each other. But to physically hit somebody in the mouth and hurt them, no, that's not good. That's not good. And Bayern should chuck the book at him, because it's not what Bayern Munich are about, that's for sure.
Senegalese sports journalist Idrissa Sani spoke further with the Sunny Side of Sports on the discipline handed down to Mane.
This suspension is strange for Senegalese people. So we are all surprised to see or to hear that Sadio Mane is punching someone. As you know, Sadio Mane is someone very quiet, very humble, very, very, very wise person. So when he spurns someone, we talk about it in TVs, radio, Facebook, WhatsApp, everywhere we talk about the subject. So what we want to know is why Sadio Mane does this, what is happening, what happened exactly between Sadio Mane and Leroy Sané, who is also a Senegalese guy. So we are trying to know, we want to know if Leroy insults Sadio or what happening exactly. This is a subject we talk about every time, from Tuesday to 2 days we are talking about this subject.
And now to Ghana, where the country's national football women's coach Nora Humtel says there is still much the team can do to improve on their performance despite securing 3 wins in their recent international friendlies, including a doubleheader against the Teranga Lionesses of Senegal. The Black Queens are aiming to qualify for the 2024 Women's African Cup of Nations after missing out on the previous edition due to a 2-1 aggregate defeat to Nigeria in the final round of qualifiers. While Humtel expressed her satisfaction with the results, she emphasized the need for additional games against different opponents to help the team grow and refine their strategies.
We go step by step, of course. It's like a new team. This is our third national team game. We still need to work a lot on our principles. The players, they need to find each other. So we are still in the building of this squad. It's very important that we have, again, friendly games, that we also play against different kind of opponents, which give us different tasks to fulfill.
Staying with women football, Super Falcons of Nigeria coach Randy Waldrum has highlighted what the team need to work on ahead of the Women's World Cup. This realization is coming after leading the Super Falcons to back-to-back win in the recently concluded international friendly match. The 9-time African champions defeated Haiti and New Zealand in Antalya, Turkey, scoring 4 goals and conceding none in the 2 matches. The American gaffer said they need to work on the shape and the passing quality of the team.
There's still so many things that we can improve on and do better. And so I think we'll get there. But I think the good thing is, like I said, these last 2 camps we've been building and it's gotten better and better. And this is what we needed leading into camp before the World Cup.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Staying with Nigeria, Lagos is hosting 16 grassroots football teams who will play several games over the next 6 days to discover young football talents in Nigeria. The matches, which is being played in front of several European scouts and sports directors, will give an opportunity to the most outstanding players to play football professionally in Europe. Ravi Daswani and Mike Ola are two football agents from Europe attending the scouting games.
We are looking for players different. We're looking for different players. We're looking profiles that we don't get in Europe. For example, in Europe, we have a lot of players, very technique, right? But here in Nigeria, you get the physique that we don't get in Europe, right? We need players, big, big players, 1 meter 90. We need fast players. This profile we don't have.
Yeah, we are looking for good, young, talented ones who can make us proud in the future of our own football. Because in Europe now, we have not enough African footballers, you know, where I'm living. And that is why we have to partner together from Spain and Germany to see that we bring the young, talented ones to different clubs.
In motorsport, multiple Zambian Africa Rally champion Muna Singh Sr. has died after months of illness at the age of 53. The two-time African Rally champion suffered from a liver complication and went on to India for a transplant. Unfortunately, Singh was announced dead on Wednesday night. The National Football League's NFL Africa program is set to expand to Kenya as the league continues to invest in growing the game at all levels across the continent. The expansion has led to the NFL hosting a talent identification camp and NFL flag football showcase in Nairobi, Kenya, which began on Monday, April 10th, underlining a long-term multi-market commitment to developing more ways to serve a growing fan base in Africa. 29 prospects aged 16 to 21 from African nations, including Cameroon, Kenya, Morocco, Nigeria, and Senegal, are taking part in a three-day NFL combined-style camp to showcase their skills. New York Giants great Osi Umenyiora is helping to expand the NFL African program.
Well, obviously what we've seen was there are a lot of African players in the NFL, right? And then we also have a lot of talented African, you know, athletes here. So what we have to do is we had to connect the two. We had to actually give the people here the opportunity to go play the game of football because it's a very, very big sport. And then all the African players, a lot of them had never even been back to Africa. We give them the opportunity to now come back into Africa and connect with all the people. So it's like a circle almost.
In athletics, multiple Olympic and world-famous sprint champion Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce of Jamaica confirmed on Wednesday that she will race at the 2023 Kipkino Classic Challenge Tour meeting in Nairobi on May 13th. The Kipkino Classic is the only World Athletics Challenge Tour gold label meeting in Africa. Fraser Pryce, who won her 10th world title at the Oregon 2022 World Athletics Championships in Eugene, will return to the meet where she started her season last year with a blistering 10.67 seconds victory in the women's 100 meters.
Yeah, I will be in Nairobi on May the 13th for the Kipkino Classics, and I'll be racing over the 100 meters. Last year was awesome, fantastic, like all those words. The stadium was just filled with so much excitement and noise and crowd and music, and it was so much fun. So make sure that you guys get your tickets, because I want to see you in Nairobi on May the 13th, and we're going to have some fun. We're going to show up and, of course, going to have some fast time, have some fun, and rock that stadium like we did last year. So get your tickets.
Finally, in basketball news, 6 club teams will battle it out in the Egyptian capital for the rights to secure the top 4 places of the conference for the Basketball Africa League playoffs in May in Kigali, Rwanda. Teams competing in the night conference include host Al Ahly, Cape Town Tigers of South Africa, City Oilers of Uganda, Fevere Vieira de Beira of Mozambique, Petro de Luanda of Angola, and Seedu Legacy Athletic Club from Guinea. The qualifying matches will hold from April 26th to May the 6th.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale. And that wraps up the April 14th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.